So I just thought it would be appropriate today to just to take a few minutes to remind us why we do what we do. And in case there's anyone sitting here and you're thinking, who is this guy? you may be, because Carla and I, that's Carla on the front row there, we serve as executive pastors in Family Church. It's our role to outwork the vision in the congregations of Family Church. And we've served alongside Andy and Gina for 28 years. And it's been a joy and a pleasure and an honor. And we have spent the last year pioneering our Family Church South Sea congregation. On the 14th of September, we handed over to Andy and Zell Bullock. So they are now leading the South Sea congregation forward. And so you're going to see a bit more of us now. And of course, we've got the big changes in February. Which we are, wow, God's getting us ready for, all of us, Andy and Gina, as they step out and move into a new chapter of their ministry, and for us as we step into this new role in Family Church as senior pastors. And we're so grateful to God that he knows what he's doing, and it's Jesus that builds his church. Amen. You know, we're just stewards of the things that God has given us to care for. And we will do that with all of our heart to our very best ability. And we always have. Amen. So I just want to share this morning. I just want to remind us today why we do what we do. Why these people who we partner with on the mission field do what they do. Why we are absolutely committed to building God's church in this city and in the towns and the villages where Family Church operates in the UK in six locations. Why do we do what we do? Well, it's because we know that the only true, complete, and lasting answers to humanity's needs are found in Jesus. Amen? Do you agree with me today? The only true, complete, lasting answer to the needs of humanity are found in Jesus. And there's nothing else that can bring true hope, true healing, and restoration to people outside of the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, church. Amen? There's nothing else that can bring true hope, healing, and restoration outside of the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. So God's heart is for people. God's desire is that every human being who lives on the face of this planet would find salvation in Jesus. So let's read a couple of verses just to get us started this morning. John 3:16. You probably know this one. It says, "For God so loved the world." Who? He loved the world. Every person who lives on this earth, God loves, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do we do what we do? Because we believe that the heart of God is for people, and that it's God's heart that no one should perish. Amen? Come on. So 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise." What's this promise we're talking about? This promise is to send Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. Just as Jesus left 2,000 years ago, and his followers and many people saw him literally ascend into heaven, he said, "I will come back in the same way that I went." And so we are anticipating, we're expecting the return of Jesus in this day and age. Amen? And but it can feel like God's being slow at fulfilling this promise of Jesus to return. The disciples, the early disciples, 2,000 years ago, they were expecting it to happen in their lifetime, but it didn't happen yet. But the reason that it may seem like a slow promise in terms of being fulfilled is it says he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So actually, it's to humanity's advantage that Jesus hasn't stepped back into this world yet. And that is because God is being patient with us. But there is a time limit. There is a time frame. And Jesus is returning. And so it's our heart, it's our desire, and it's God's desire to see as many human beings come to Jesus as possible. Amen? It's God's heart that none should perish. So prior to Jesus, prior to when Jesus stepped into this world 2,000 years ago, God's relationship was with one people group, one tribe, one nation, and that was with Israel. But because the nation of Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior, salvation was opened up to all nations. Of course, this was all part of God's plan anyway. He knew that this would happen. He knew that salvation would be made available to every human being who has ever lived on the face of this planet and who lives today. And so salvation is something that every human being can receive. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus. So this plan of God for all humanity to have the opportunity to be saved, it was revealed actually to Peter in Acts chapters 10 and 11. So in the book of Acts, we read about everything that happened after Jesus had left his disciples to it, his followers to it. And they got up to some adventures. And the church, because of persecution, the disciples spread into all the nations of the earth. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was taken to the nations by the early church. So amazing things happened. But at this point, the disciples were only sharing the good news of Jesus with the Jewish people. But suddenly, there were many non-Jewish people who began to believe in Jesus and receive salvation. And so God then speaks to the Apostle Peter. And in Acts chapters 10 and 11, you should read it sometime. But in Acts chapters 10 and 11, there's a couple of verses here I just want to read. Verse 34, 36 in Acts 10. It says, then Peter replied. So he'd had this vision, this dream, that there was this blanket coming down from heaven, and on it was all kinds of animals, both what the Jewish people would consider clean and unclean. And God says to him, take, eat it all. And Peter's like, well, I couldn't eat those unclean things. And God says, no, it's all, don't call unclean what God calls clean. And so what he was saying to Peter and the early church leaders was salvation isn't just for the Jews now. This has been opened up to the whole world. So he says in Acts 10:34, Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Do you know there aren't different degrees of sin? Sin is sin. Sin is what causes us to have a broken relationship with God, to be disconnected with God. There's no favoritism when it comes to God. Every one of us needs saving. Amen? So verse 35, God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel. And of course, God shows Peter, it goes beyond Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Do you know, humanity's greatest need is to have peace with God. What an amazing thing to know that when you wake up in the morning, you have peace with God, that you are right in the sight of God. That is not achievable in your own ability. It's only achievable because of what Jesus did when he laid down his life on the cross. He paid the price for the sin of all humanity when he died on that cross. Amen? So when you put your faith in Jesus, essentially you died with him. Your sin was paid for. But Jesus was buried and he rose from the dead. You were buried with him. Your old life is gone and you've been risen to new life. The moment you put your faith in Jesus is the moment you step in to this new life. And God looks at you and he says, you're a new creation. I've made all things new in your life. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So we shouldn't see people, especially our Christian brothers and sisters, in the same way that we used to see them. We should see people through the lens of new creation. Praise God. So this is the message of the good news, that there is peace with God through Jesus. It's a message that God has called us to take to the world around us. We are his messengers. If people in our neighborhoods, our communities, our villages, towns, and cities are going to hear the message of the good news that there is peace with God through Jesus, then it's down to us to take that message to them. Hello? It's down to us to take that message to the people around our lives. Let's read another verse. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. You have been brought back to God through Christ. And God has given this task to us of reconciling people to himself, of bringing people to this place of having peace with God. Verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What an amazing message to share. This is a life-changing message, amen? This message that we have, it brings hope and healing and restoration and freedom to people's lives. What an incredible message that we have been given by God to share with the people around our lives. Praise God. So we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who is sent out to represent the King of the kingdom. In this case, King Jesus of the kingdom of God. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the message that God has given us to take to the world around us. God has called us to go into all the world, to go to all the nations and preach the good news to everyone, according to Mark 16, verse 15. God's called us to go and make disciples, followers of Jesus, of all nations, according to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. God's called us to be a people who look beyond the borders of our own lives, of our own homes, of our own city, and even of our own nation, to take this message of good news to the world around us. Amen? So that's what God's called us to do. It's not an option. It's not an option as to whether we take the good news to people around us. This is a command that Jesus gave us. It's his commissioning for us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when it says preach the gospel, he's not necessarily talking about on the street corner and shouting at people. He's talking about the people in your life that you have relationship with, the people that you're connected with. Share the hope of Jesus with those people. Share this good news that you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's not either or. It's not you're either called to the people who live immediately around you, or the people in your school, or the people in your workplace, or you're called to go into the nations. It's both. It's all of it. It's wherever you have opportunity. Let's be people that are sharing the good news of Jesus. Now, the thing is, I don't know about you, but I often feel quite weak, quite helpless, quite fearful sometimes when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus with others. But according to the Bible, we don't need to be afraid, amen? We don't need to be afraid, because our ability to be witnesses of Jesus, his ambassadors, it comes from the truth that God is present in our lives by his Holy Spirit. So I just need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I will go out with boldness and courage and fearlessness and take the message of Jesus to the people around me. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Of course, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about their immediate task. So what's he saying to us today? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Portsmouth, or for me, in Baffins, in Portsmouth. I was going to say in the workplace, but my workplace is the family church office. So I think most people there know and love Jesus, which is good. To Portsmouth, to Hampshire, to the UK, to the nations of the world. It's not either or, it's all of the above. Amen. And the message that we carry is good news. You know, there's some Christians, and, you know, the way that they take themselves into people's lives, you think the message doesn't really seem like good news. You know, when all you do is grumble, when all you do is moan, I don't think it's helping you convey this message of good news to the people around you. How about we become a people of faith? How about we become a people who are positive because of what God is doing in our lives? Not because circumstances are great all the time, because they're not great all the time, but because God is moving in our lives and God promises to never leave us or forsake us. Amen? The message we carry is good news that reconciles people with God, brings peace to people with God. It says in Romans 10, verse 13 to 15, and this is the truth today, because it comes from the Bible. It says in verse 13, verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He's talking about people out there. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a messenger? And how shall they preach unless they're sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Look at your feet today. They are beautiful feet. I mean, your husband or wife might not think your feet are beautiful. But your feet are beautiful because those feet have been called by God to be feet that take the gospel of peace, the good news of Jesus, to the world around you. So today, as we celebrate what Family Church does in the nations, As we talk about the gospel of peace, I think it's also important to remember that Israel, the people that God had relationship with in the Old Testament, they were called by God to care for three groups of people: the refugees, the orphans, and the widows. Constantly, repeatedly. Read the book of Deuteronomy. It's a tough read sometimes, but read the book of Deuteronomy. Constantly, God was reminding them, look after the refugee or the foreigner. Look after the orphan. Look after the widow. Look out for them. In fact, the prophet Zechariah puts it this way. Zechariah 7 verses 8 to 10. He says, then this message came to Zechariah from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Judge fairly, show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor. There's four groups there, the poor. And do not scheme against each other. I just want to remind us today why we do what we do. I want to remind us that Jesus is the answer for all who are lost and all who suffer. And our prayer today is that your heart, along with my heart, and Pastor Andy and Gina's hearts, and Sean and Paula, and me and Carla, and the leaders of Family Church, that your heart would be broken for the lost and the suffering. That you would have a heart that is stirred for those who are lost today. Those who are suffering in this nation and in the nations of the world. Our prayer is that you will experience boldness and power to go out as Jesus has called you to go out with this message that is a message of good news. It's a message of peace. It causes people to find peace with God, to be reconciled with God. Amen? This is the message that God's called us to take. So when the opportunity arises to go, whether that is local or whether that is international, why don't you just say what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, send me." Is anyone up for that? Keep your eyes open for the opportunities that God is going to open to you. They've already been there, by the way, but they're going to continue to be there. Keep your eyes open to the opportunities that God will open for you. And maybe that will involve going on a mission trip. We're going to have mission trips next year, and we'll let you know about them as soon as we can so that you can plan, so that you can save up and raise money. But be open to go where God is sending you. Amen. Just as I finish now, I'm going to hand over to a video that's going to play on the screen. And this is produced by Open Doors UK. And this organization is incredible. It supports Christians around the world who are suffering, who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. It's an eye-opener. And this video is going to talk about the 10 most persecuted nations for Christians in the world. And I think it's good to remember that there are millions, even right now today, there are millions of Christians in this world who are suffering for the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. And after the video, so we're going to watch the video. After the video, we're going to pray, we're going to pray for those who are being persecuted. And then after that, we're just going to say a few more words as we wrap up the service today. Thank you, team. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Father. Lord, that Lord, you've heard every word that's been spoken today. Lord, you see every single individual, every situation. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are moving, and we trust you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. You can just take your seats for a minute, please. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, don't wander out yet. Just wait for a few minutes, because we just want to finish the service and do that really well today. You know, without God, we can do nothing. Amen? We're useless without Jesus. We're useless without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so let me encourage you today, why don't you spend this week, as you spent last week taking communion and remembering the incredible gift of Jesus, his laying down of his life, the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body. Why don't you spend this week on your knees asking the Holy Spirit to fill your life, asking God to come in his power in your quiet place. Ask him to come and fill your life and give you boldness and give you courage to be everything that God has called you to be. Because unless we go, people will not hear the message. Amen? They will not hear it. But boldness comes as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're visiting us today, once again, we just want you to feel really welcome. Hopefully you saw the banners as you came in. It says, "Welcome home." And that's our heart, that's our prayer for every one of you. If you're visiting us today, it's that you feel like you've come home. It's that you feel like you're stepping into the midst of a family that is an incredible family, that only God could do this, amen? Only God could do this. But what an incredible family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love having you here today. And we're so glad that you visited us. If you're new to the church, if you've just been coming for a few weeks, there's so many faces. You know, Carla and I, we've been off plant in Southsea for the last year, but there's so many new faces in this place, and that's just, praise God for that, you know. But we just want to finish today, and I know there are people here, and you want to know that you have peace with God today. We just want to finish today by praying a prayer that everyone can pray together. But if you've never prayed this prayer before, that says to Jesus that you believe in him, and that settles, that reconciles you with God, that settles this thing about having peace with God once and for all, then you can pray that prayer with us today. So let's just bow our heads, please, church. And just say after me, say, "Dear Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent Jesus. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he took the sin of the world. He took my sin. Thank you, Lord, that although I cannot meet your perfect standard, you have paid the price for my sin. and I am forgiven, and I am loved, and I can now walk closely with you. I can stand in your sight right before you. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed just for a moment, because I know there are people in this place today, and you have just made your peace with God. You have just been reconciled with God by accepting Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Would you do one more thing for me today? With boldness, with great courage, raise your hand in the air. Say, yeah, that's me. That's me today. Anyone here, you prayed that prayer. Thank you. Raise your hand high in the air. Say, yeah, that's me. I've made my peace with Jesus. Thank you. Anyone else? Just keep your hand high in the air so I can just see you. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Several hands. Praise God. Okay. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. I think there must have been 5 or 6 hands. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful. So what we'd love you to do, if you raise your hand today, we'd love you to just head to the back there where Ezra is. He's waving some stuff around. We've got a gift for you. We want to make sure you've all got a Bible, make sure that you've got some literature that will help you as you start your journey with God. And we just want to meet you. We just want to meet you and celebrate this amazing day where you have made your peace with God. Praise God. Come on, church, let's give God thanks for salvation today in this house. Praise God. Hey, please hang around. Please enjoy tea and coffee together in the other hall, and just spend time just getting to know each other, just having a good time together. And parents, go and get your kids from Kids Church. Thank you.